The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" So if you're an unbeliever, if you've never come to a realization of the existence of the Almighty, you potentially in for a very nasty shock when you die. End up in your coffin with a rotting corpse, in a crematorium, an oven, haunting a child or friend or relative. Not nice. If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, for eternity, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" So once again, if you've nominally believed at some stage and you just carry on as though the Almighty doesn't exist, why would you expect something pleasant to happen when you die? Not going to happen. You really don't want to die in that situation. On the other hand, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yeshua, who you may know as Jesus. The Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me." Today we're going to look at the topic, Seek Truth, Not Error. We'll finish off the section on being a friend of the Almighty, and then we'll get into Seek Truth, Not Error. Overview of today's broadcast, wrap up the discussion on becoming a friend of the Almighty and what is required to give real service to Him. And we then move on to discuss a really important principle, which is seek truth, not error. We look at the commandment that if we chesed, covenant, love the Almighty, we will keep His commandments, and the great commandment. We revisit that Yeshua is not Yah and that we should not worship the Bible. We look at not taking the name of Yah in vain and keeping the Sabbaths. And we note that Yah desires a turning around. We then go on to discuss the important principle of seeking truth, not error. We note that humankind has had 6,000 years learning all there is to learn about evil. And we stress that only one human being has had zero error and that only one created being has 100% error. We're enjoined to seek the truth amongst the error and to focus on truth. And we're cautioned not to talk about error, but to share truth. Finally, we examine some questions relating to your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering. I'm a strategic management consultant and business executive. I have 27 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with Him on the 12th of March 1993 when He spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that He was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve Him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering training of rigor in preventing failure, to my knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com, the show and podcast for previous broadcasts. That's Relationship with Creator Radio, one word. Questions from last week's program. Pat asked, can we pick up on this at any point in the program, or do we have to start at the beginning? Pat, you can pick up at any point. If you're really serious about it, I would suggest you go back to the early broadcasts. I have been following a sort of fairly definite progression of messages. I haven't really repeated myself too much. There are transcripts available on the website if you find it easier to read. The broadcasts are also on the website. They're also on the Relationship with Creator Radio website. Lester asked, speaking of friends, you said we should not partner with a non-believer. Can we be friends with non-believers? Lester, to clarify, I'm saying do not enter into a sexual relationship with an unbeliever, or if you are, get out of it. You can be friends with non-believers. You're surrounded by non-believers. It's very difficult to not be friends with non-believers, and there's no reason not to. You don't have to force your belief down their throats. At the same time, hopefully your example, your life can be a bit of an example to them, and they can turn to Father if possible. Jasper asked, if He wants us to be friends, should we mind who we are friends with on earth as not to offend Him and get closer to Him? Jasper, yes, I think if you want to get to be close to Him, you're going to find that a whole lot of people will drop out of your life without really trying. A powerful prayer is, Father, bring the people you want into my life and take the people you don't want in my life out. What I found the first time I prayed that, within a year, one of my business partners went out. Several of my staff left, several of my friends left, and my wife ended up divorcing my wife. So Father will guide you if you let Him as to who your friends are. Pam asked, did you get caught in the affair? Is that what drove you to want the end of your life? Pam, yes, that's correct. We found that we were deeply in love, and we had to stop it. Francis asked, why did you stay married all that time? Francis, I didn't believe in divorce. The church told me that divorce was unacceptable. Father had to speak to me very, very clearly through a vision in London when I was on a business trip to show me that he would permit me to divorce. The thought at that stage that he would actually want me to divorce was completely foreign to me. Amy asks, so when was the affair if you have married many times? Which one was the big revelation? Amy, the divorce, the affair was during my first marriage. Philip asked, why do religions look down on divorce if He don't want you to be with a non-believer or a believer not on your level of believing? Philip, the vast majority of religious people are not believers. Religion is corrupt. It's full of error. The people who are really serving Father are not deeply involved in the formal religious institutions. Joel asked, when someone gets the right or left throne with the Almighty, will they ever get out of that position? Can anyone be better than the one seated to the right or left of the Almighty? Joel, I don't know the exact conditions. I believe that when somebody is given a particular rank in heaven, they hold that rank for eternity. Questions from last week's program. Does anyone strive to be in the seats next to the Lord? Yes, Avery, I am. I believe that some people who've been listening to me for a while probably are considering that as well. Jasmine asked, how many people have questioned things about teachings, and does the Lord hold our questioning against us? Jasmine, absolutely not. Father welcomes people who critically look at what's being taught. There is so much error in the world, and we're going to touch on this briefly a little bit later in this program, but there's so much error. Father welcomes people who are critical of what's going on in the world, not in a difficult, ugly way, but in a questioning way. So certainly he will recognize your questioning, he will be grateful for your questioning, and he will answer your question. Philip asked, if we question, how do we know we're getting the correct answer? Philip, to some extent, you will kind of just know that it's the truth. And sometimes it's going to take you a while to figure out that it's the truth. And the thing to realize is that the world is so full of error that we're accustomed to accepting error. So it does take a bit of conditioning, a bit of learning. Caleb asked, do the demons try to intervene with wrong answers to get us off the path? Caleb, absolutely. That's their prime role in life, is to get us off the path. Their job is to prevent us getting into relationship with the Almighty. If we get into relationship with the Almighty, it's to get us so sidetracked that we're absolutely useless to him. And that's all. That's basically all they're there for. That's the only reason for their existence. They're there by accident, in the sense that Father didn't intend there to be unbelievers when he created us. He just intended anybody who fell into that category would have been immediately destroyed. So there's, you know, 100 billion demons on the planet, and they've got nothing to do except try and stop the believers getting close to Father and to prevent Father from winning the contest. So continuing with the message about real service to the Almighty in this age, what really matters, just to wrap up a little bit more information. Key principle here, if you chesed, or covenant love, Father, you will keep his commandments. Ultimately, there is only one commandment that really matters. Chesed, covenant love, Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That is clear. It leaves no room for other loves. Complying with this commandment has four principal elements, which I'll discuss in a minute. Folks, chesed is a Hebrew word. It means love, but it's much more than love in the way we use the word love. It's covenant love. It's loyalty. It's care for the other. It's concern. It's doing right by the other, doing right for the other. And it carries a death penalty if you break it. Carrying on, Yah is one. Yeshua is a created being. Therefore, worship Yah alone. Do not worship Yahushua. That's Jesus, if you don't know that name. This commandment is quite clear. Yah is one. There is no Trinity. Yahushua is not Yah in the flesh. It was the anointing of the Spirit of Yah on Yahushua that gave Yahushua his powers. It is gross sin to call Yahushua God or worship him in any form, no matter what tortuous rationalizations you adopt. See the page on Yahushua, not Creator, on the website, and the large number of pages relating to Yahushua, to fully understand who Yahushua really is and how he accomplished what he accomplished. If you are worshipping Yahushua, then it's time to cease, failing which you will find to be irrelevant to the battle when you stand before the throne of judgment. Folks, this is so important. Yahushua could not have done what he did if he was Yah. Yah has no authority on earth unless he operates through a human being. A live human being. Satan has no authority on earth unless he operates through a live human being. Yeshua had to be 100% human, which he was. And the reward for that was immense prestige and power and authority. So Yeshua is by far the most powerful created being in the universe. But you need to understand the truth about him and when to call on his name and when not to. Moving on. Have no idols. The Bible is just a book. Worship Yah alone. The second commandment is quite clear. No idols. Therefore, do not worship the Bible. The Bible is not the living word of God. It contains error, and idolatry of the Bible is the single greatest act of idolatry on the planet today, and one of Satan's great triumphs. See the page on the Bible and the child pages for much more information on why the Bible is not what is claimed for it, why worship of it is sin, and why Yah, having put a lot of work into the Bible when it was compiled, now hates it. If you are a Bible worshipper, you too will be found to be close to irrelevant on the day when you are judged, immediately following your death, and you will be tormented in hell for a significant time for your Bible worship. So again, it's time to cease. Folks, the Bible is a very useful reference book to learn about the conduct of diverse believers over the first 4,000 years of mankind on earth. There are a few small inspired passages there, but most of it is just straightforward history. It's useful information, no more than that. If you've not read the Bible, I would suggest you read the Bible once or twice. The translations I recommend are firstly the King James Version, secondly the Amplified Bible, thirdly the Scriptures by the Institute of Scripture Research, and finally the Living Torah Old Testament by Kaplan. All of those available on Amazon. But right now I'm not sure that I would tell you to read all of those. Maybe just dip into one or two. Another commandment: do not take the name of Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, in vain. He is not called God. He is not called the Lord. Worship Yah alone. I am constantly shocked by the carelessness and indifference of believers who say things along the lines of, God is a God of love. He does not care what I call him, or he understands, or whatever. How would you like it if your family called you by the name of your worst enemy? That was how Father expressed his position to me when I asked him about the true name the first time I became aware of it in the year 2000. Be aware that if you persist in calling Father by anything other than his true name, which is Yah the Eternally Self-Existing, or at a stretch, Yahweh or Yahweh, you are in gross sin and he hates your indifference and insensitivity. You are close to being irrelevant in the contest. You are far from being a friend. See the article on the true name of the Creator is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, and the child pages on the website for much more information. Folks, I came across somebody just a week or two ago who was completely unconcerned that the fact that he was using wrong names. It's so hurtful to Father. It so grieves him. I've seen him in tears twice. Once because somebody refused to stop using the wrong name and using a blasphemous email address, and one because somebody made a big change. His name means a lot to him, just like your name means a lot to you. Next commandment: keep Yah Sabbaths as an act of chesed, covenant love. Worship Yah alone. Yah has clearly requested that we keep the seventh day set apart, that is holy. That day is Saturday, and it runs from sunrise to sunrise. Folks, the day begins at sunrise. The night begins at sunset. We don't call it night, we call it day. So the day goes from sunrise to sunrise. He also expects us to observe Passover, Pentecost, the Day of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Sabbath, on which we do no secular work or any other work that can be done on other days. He expects us to rest on those days and to devote time to worshipping him and serving him in whatever way he requests of us. If you are not observing those Sabbaths, you are also close to being irrelevant in the contest, for you are a servant of Satan in that regard. Note that none of this is about not being a believer or whatever. It is about the level of your relationship with him and the extent to which you, chesed, covenant love him enough to keep his commandments. Folks, no secular work means no secular work. So you do what you have to do to prepare and eat food. You don't go to lavish preparation of food, etc. If you want to do that, prepare the food the day before. You don't go to the bank. You don't do the banking. You don't send the car in for a service. You don't do whatever it is that you feel like doing. You don't water the garden. You don't do housekeeping. You don't clean up in the house, whatever. You devote the day to Yah. It should be a special day. It should be a day that He sees that you're committed to Him. And then the rest of the commandments. The rest of the commandments relate to loving our neighbor. They too should be observed. See the webpage on all of the Ten Commandments, as well as the principal commandment, have been almost universally broken and made of no effect, and the preceding pages for a detailed discussion of the commandments. Folks, Father came down on the mountain and spoke audibly to millions of people to give them the commandments. As far as anyone knows, that is the only time that Yah has spoken audibly to millions of people. And He wrote the commandments in tablets of stone. Surely those commandments are most important. We should comply with them strictly. In order to do that, we need to understand them clearly and fully. And we need to make the course corrections and adjustments that are necessary to keep them. You can't keep the third commandment if you don't know the true name of the Almighty. You can't keep the first commandment if you think that Yeshua is Yah in the flesh. You can't keep the second commandment if you think that the Bible is the living word of God and without error. And so it goes. So you have to deal with a whole bunch of wrong thinking and wrong teaching, which is prevalent in the world today, which is prevalent in most religions. Same goes for the Quran. You don't worship the Quran any more than you worship the Bible. So in conclusion, your desires are turning around. The bottom line of all of this is that right now, Father is losing the contest hands down. He is lonely, isolated, betrayed, and constantly insulted by people who call Him wrong names, break His commandments, worship a created man, worship a book, and do not care. If you're one of those people, it's time to wake up and sort out your messed up life, because that is what it is. Either you deal with your ill-disciplined ways and cold heart now, or you will be grievously disappointed on the day that you are judged. Choose this day who you will serve. Will you seek to overcome sin and error and become a personal friend of the Almighty? Will you continue to serve Satan with your confused and error-filled wrong ways? Right now, almost no one on earth is truly serving Yah. He desires you to turn from your sin and turn to Him, and He desires you to help Him turn the tide of the contest, start seeking all truth, start sharing that truth, and turn this world from its service of Satan. What is your choice? Folks, I've been very blunt there and perhaps a bit harsh, but that's really the truth. If you're not using the right names, if you're not worshiping Yah alone, if you're not doing things on a daily basis to bless Him, to reach out to Him, to be led by Him, to serve Him, to help Him win the contest, your whole life is an absolute total waste of time. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. You'll find that out when you die, so I might as well tell you now so you've got time to change. Moving on. In May 2013, I wrote an article called with the title Seek Truth, Not Error. And when the introduction to that article I wrote, in February 2001, Father Yah gave me a message titled Seek Truth, Not Error. In the years that follows, He has repeatedly stressed this principle to me, and I'm now impressed to share the concept again. That same statement made in 2013 remains entirely appropriate today. Folks, if you can get hold of this principle and put it into practice in every area of your life, but particularly in terms of your religious, spiritual life, it will make a huge difference to you. I see so many people who are absolutely enthralled and devastated and shocked and horrified by the evil in the world, and feel that they have to tell everybody about the evil in the world. Folks, the world is evil. It's corrupt. Why do you want to go and talk about it? Why do you want to give Satan glory? Rather seek truth and tell people about the truth. And if you can't do that, just rather zip your lip and be quiet. Do not start broadcasting about other people's error. tell people the truth and let them find out the error themselves, or if you really have a revelation of something, just give a quick one-liner about it. So where are we? 6,000 years learning all there is to learn about evil and error. Just over 6,000 years ago, when Adam and Chava, Eve, ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they set mankind on a journey to learn all evil. They already had access to all good. As a consequence, we now live in the most evil generation that has ever lived, and we are surrounded by evil and not much good. Even that which we think to be good is often corrupt. This is far more widespread and far more deep-seated than it may seem to you right now. Folks, this is a huge thing to get hold of. 6,017 years ago, Adam and Eve, Chava, knew no evil. They talked with Yah in the garden. They were blessed with everything they wanted, everything they needed, massive intelligence, massive strength, everything that they could have hoped for. And yet they disobeyed and ate the fruit of the tree. And it really doesn't matter what the fruit was, or even if it was fruit. They disobeyed, they rebelled, and they gave allegiance to Satan as a consequence. We have spent the last 6,017 years learning all there is to know about evil, error. This generation is corrupt, folks. It looks like they're all good and nice and what have you, but it's actually all corrupt because they're serving Satan and they don't even know it. It's important to realize that there has only ever been one human being who has had zero error throughout their entire life. It is also so that there has only been one human being who lived a life without error and without sin, and that is Yeshua, the anointed of Yah of Nazareth in Israel, who lived about 2,000 years ago and who died to provide an atoning sacrifice for our sins and show us the way to serve Yah and overcome with the prospect of eternal life with him and Yah in heaven. Accordingly, if you examine me or any other person, you will sooner or later find error and sin. The same applies to any article, book, teaching, etc. Believing that there are human beings who are without sin today is foolishness in the extreme. Accordingly, whether it be your shepherd or pastor or husband or wife or rabbi or imam or whoever, do not expect them to be perfect and without error, and do not be surprised when you discover that they do have error. For the same reason, when you encounter teachings, expect to find that there is error mixed with truth, or more likely, truth mixed with error. Refusing to read anything written by an individual because they've been found to have error is foolishness and will quite possibly cut you off from important truth. I see so frequently, I corresponded a few weeks ago with somebody, and he went on my website, and his email to me was, I see there's some things that I agree with you on, but I don't agree with you this, and I don't agree with you on that, and I don't agree with it. It's impossible to have a conversation with the guy because all he could do was pick up the things that he considered I was in error with, which incidentally I wasn't. He was in error. Then remember that there's only been one being with all error. On the other side, there is only one being that has all error, and that is Satan. Thus it is so that even extremely evil people have truth. They could not function without some truth in their lives. So the principles upon witchcraft and other satanic activities are based are also truths. Thus, if one is called to minister to people in those areas, one must be willing to sift the truth from the error. I see so much of how people find an error in somebody, what they think is error, because a lot of the time they're mistaken. And then they demonize, whatever you want to call it, that person. And a lot of the time, this is believers doing this to other believers, or at least people who claim to be believers. It's largely the believing unbelievers with the believing unbelievers. But I've been down a road where, on several occasions, in fact, where sincere, committed, spiritual believers have latched on to something that I believe that they consider error, and then they've totally demonized me and written me off. Don't want to talk to me. I actually got thrown out of a house once. or locked out of a house. They didn't physically throw me because they didn't agree with what I was teaching, and they were wrong. But they weren't prepared to discuss it. They weren't prepared to look at all the things that we could agree with. So what I'm saying is seek truth amongst the error. It therefore becomes apparent that in searching for truth, one must constantly sift through error. As the wheat and the chaff are mixed together intimately and difficult to separate, so the truth and the error are frequently difficult to separate. In fact, we have grown up in a world so filled with error that much of what we believe to be truth turns out to be error. For example, most of us have grown up believing that the name of the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth is the Lord and or God. It comes as a shock to most to learn that these are in fact pagan names, and it is only through the grace of our Almighty Father in heaven that he's seen fit to answer our prayers and have a relationship with us using those names. But that has now stopped. As you dig further into the subject, you will increasingly discover that there are other things that you have taken to be truth, which are in fact errors. And you may even discover that there are some things that you thought were error that are in fact truth. I once was in London on business and driving past, in a taxi past a big bookshop. Father told me to go there. So we went back there a couple of days later, and he said, go to the third floor. I went to the third floor. He said, go to the antiquities department. And then he led me to a particular bookshelf and to a particular book on the bookshelf, and I opened the book at a particular page, and there was the answer to my question. I have never read any more of the book, but that one page contains vital truth that I lacked. That's what I mean by sifting through the error to find the truth. Focus on truth. Do not focus on error. Do not take it for granted that error is there. Be it you, your pastor, your rabbi, your imam, your wife, your husband, or any other person you might be inclined to put on some sort of pedestal. Yeshua said in Matthew, in other words, Matthew, gift of Yah, chapter 7, verses 1 to 5, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. This is the same principle. Do not look for error in others. Deal with your own error and look to others for truth that will help you to find your error and deal with it. So many people miss out on opportunities that Father provides for them by bringing other people into their lives, because the first thing they do is they look for something they don't agree with. How are you going to learn new things if all you can find to do with new people is to judge them against your level of knowledge and your arrogant ignorance? So do not talk about error. Share truth. Do not gossip and tell others about the errors you've found in people. If you cannot talk well of someone, rather say nothing. Websites that seek to expose the error of others are doing the work of the accuser, and these people will find themselves demonized and on the side of Satan. The more you look at the works of Satan in people, the more you will begin to look at him and learn his ways. The more you broadcast about evil, the more you will be sucked into it. Where you encounter error and Yah clearly instructs you to make it known, then do so only to the extent that he tells you to do it, and no more and no less. Otherwise, just ignore it and either stop associating with that person if you're unable to do anything to constructively influence them, or their sin offends you, or focus on what is right in that person and ignore the error. Then talk about the truth that you believe you have, and if you're attacked, just leave it. It's not your job to force your truths onto others. It is your job to sow what you have to sow, and leave it to Yah to water and bring the seed to fruition. I see so many cases of people who are passionately and determinedly trying to ram what they believe is truth down other people's throats. And the fact of the matter is, most of the time, they're in gross error. They set themselves up in positions of judgment, and folks, just don't do it. Just love one another, learn what you can, and then move on if you can't be civil to one another. In conclusion, I appeal to all who listen to this to focus on truth and not an error. It does not matter how offensive you find someone's error, they have truths hidden somewhere. If you're called to find truth, then seek it. If not, either move on or avoid getting sucked into error. At the same time, realize that you probably have less truth than you think, and look constantly for truth which others have, which you lack. In Christianity, there are literally hundreds of different groupings and denominations, and they all exist because of this, their non-compliance with this point. They fight about whether baptism is immersion or dipping off of, dabbing with a finger. They fight over whether tongues are from Yah or not from Yah. They fight over so many different things. Instead of saying, well, you know what? We agree that there is a creator, and we agree this, and we agree that, and we agree the following, and we don't actually agree on this point and this point, but you know what? We'll put that on one side, and we'll leave it with, for Father to deal with each of us on that point. The world would be a very, very different place if people adopted that protocol. So again, find truth. Seek truth, not error. I hope that you will take this away with you and put it into practice. I suspect it will make a big difference in the way you conduct your life and the way you seek to know Father. The End Time Issue Ministry's calling is to act as a catalyst and facilitator to collect, collate, and distribute truth. I'm seeking to act as a catalyst for people seeking truth. That is why the website runs to around 1,000 pages, with around 1,000 articles in the article database, and the books amounting to about 9,000 pages. The entire purpose is to provide a resource that people who are genuinely seeking truth can draw on in their search. Any help you might want to give is most welcome. But what I would encourage you not to do is go to my website. There's, 80, 100 items in the main menu, which is designed for a specific reason, so that people can sort of fleetingly dab in and find what they're looking for. And the probability is, if you go into that website and you look at those 100 or so buttons, you will find things you don't agree with. And you can get offended with me, tell me that I'm a whatever, whatever, whatever. Or you can just say, well, this man is obviously serious about serving the Almighty, and his message about seeking a deep relationship with the Almighty seems intuitively sound, so I'm going to hang around and learn from him. And I'll browse through these web pages and learn what I can. And if I don't agree with him on something, I'll just park it and put it on one side and ask Father to show me. If you start saying to Father, show me, lead me into all truth by your Spirit, show me the level of my present deception and how to correct it, and pray that daily, if not daily, every few days. Judge me severely and correct me harshly, that I may serve you more perfectly. You will find that you get to know what's truth and what's not. I want to close by challenging you and asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I would like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to Him. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity, which includes, do you turn on worship songs as soon as you wake up in the morning and only turn them off when you go to sleep at night? Do you listen to them on the bus, on the train, in the car, in the office, in the house, doing the housework? Sing along wherever you can. Do you count Him your friend? He wants to be your friend. Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you are failing in your life purpose and will be bitterly disappointed when you die. You might want to pray with me. Father, I ask you to lead me into all truth by your Spirit. I ask you to show me the level of my present deception and how to correct it. I ask you to help me find the truth you want me to have. Help me to discern truth. Help me to discern error. And help me to seek truth and not error, and draw closer to you and help me to qualify to become your friend. I desire to please you, Father. Amen. You can download the recording of this broadcast tomorrow. It should be up on the Relationship with Creator Radio.com website. And the transcript will be on my website in about a week's time. Five key documents, all main menu web pages. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator. Recommended worship, songs that are strongly recommended. The Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcript of nearly all teachings in the series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. Folks, there's a huge amount of information on the website. Answers to not all of your questions, but certainly a fair number of them. So in closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. I ask you to work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, this is so important. Jesus is not coming soon. Yeshua is scheduled to return in roughly 3003, so that's 987 years from now, roughly. And he will only return if there is at least one believer in right standing. My desire is for there to be millions of people who are friends of Yah by then, billions of committed believers. My desire is to totally turn this world around, and I appeal to you to help me. It doesn't matter your gender, your age, your race, your level of education, your financial position, whoever you are, wherever you are, wherever you are in life, Father wants you to become his friend, and I urge you right now, today, to turn to him and say, Father, I desire to become your friend. Please help me in every possible way. Bring the people you want into my life to help me. Amen. Good night. Father, I